It is March 11th, and we are in Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadi Dalid, Amud Aleph. And tonight we have the Maisa of Chizkiah and Sancheriv. Now this Maisa is going to be discussed at great length. We start discussing it here. It will be discussed at greater length later on in the Perek. Sancheriv is a very interesting figure in Tanakh. And we're not going to cover everything about him tonight. But he and Chizkiyahu are one against the other. There's Elu Mazet. And really, tonight is more about Chizkiyahu than it is about Sancheriv. Now, the story is, Sancheriv was the king of Ashur. And Ashur had conquered most of the known world. And they were the reigning power. And this is before Babel. This is earlier. And this Sancheriv, Melech Ashur, was the one who conquered the northern kingdom. That's Malchus Yisrael. He conquered the Aseres Hashvatim and took them into Galus. Sancheriv then attempted to conquer Malchus Yehuda as well in Yerushalayim. And that's when he besieged the entire city of Yerushalayim and was ready to absolutely destroy it. And as you know from the Gemara, that he was unsuccessful. He was almost there. He was unsuccessful, and he himself, then his entire army was destroyed, and then he was also killed in Ashur. The way he was killed we'll discuss later. It's not tonight's discussion. The Maisa of Sancheriv takes place on Erev Pesach, which is of course appropriate for now, but the truth is we're not up to that. That's really for Daf Tzadi Hei, which we're not going to get up to this evening, so it's not quite going to work out for us to discuss it before Pesach. I did give a shiur on this once to the women before Pesach about Oid Hayon Benoiv Lamoid and the Mice of Sancheriv and Erev Pesach. It is the Haftarah that those psukim in Yeshaya is the Haftarah for the eighth day of Pesach. So it's relevant there as well. But at any rate, so he attempts to conquer all of Yerushalayim, and he gets destroyed. Now at the same time that Sancheriv is surrounding Yerushalayim and ready to destroy it, Chizkiyahu gets very, very sick. He gets sick to die. He doesn't just get the flu, he's on his deathbed. And everybody knows he's going to die. And the same, what happens is that both Chizkiyahu is healed and Sancheriv's army is wiped out. Both those things happen. Now the Gemara in Brachas tells us that Chizkiyahu did not marry. He deliberately did not marry. And the reason he did not marry is because he knew Beruach HaKadosh, he knew Benevuah, that he was going to have a son who would be a Rasha. That would be Menashe. And he wasn't wrong. He was right. He did have a son, and his son was Menashe. Menashe was a Rasha, at least for the first part of his reign. He did really terrible things. We have a Machlaikas, so the Menashe lost his Chelek in Olam Haba. That's how bad he was. So Chizkiyahu didn't want to marry. So the Gemara Brachas tells us that the pasuk of Mi Keh Chacham Umi Adea Pesha Davar, the pasuk in Koheles, who is the Chacham and who knows how to compromise, that is said about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Yeshaya and Chizkiyahu to talk to each other about this question of whether he should marry or not. And Chizkiyahu didn't go to Yeshaya, and Yeshaya didn't go to Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu didn't go to Yeshaya because it's around the Melech, and it's not covered for the Malchus to go, to someone. If there has to be a conversation, someone has to come to the Melech. Yeshaya said, "I'm the Navi." It's not the covenant of the Navi to right. So each one was waiting for the other one to come to him. So the Gemara says, "Mala." So what did Hashem do? He made Chizkiyahu sick. And then he told Yeshaya, you have to go be Mevaker Chayla. Got to go visit the sick. So Yeshaya went to Chizkiyahu. That was how Hashem did it. Well, now, The sickness, though, was really a punishment to Chizkiyahu because he didn't marry. And that's what was going on over there. Yeshaya walked into Chizkiyahu and said to him, you are going to die and you're not going to live. The Gemara says, what do you mean? If you're going to die, of course you're not going to live. You mean you're going to die in this world, you're not going to live in the next world. You're losing everything. So the Gemara says, why? Because he didn't marry. So Chizkiyahu said to Yeshaya, but I have a reason why I'm not marrying. Because of this gzera that I know I'm going to have a son that's not a tzaddik. He's going to be a rasha. So Yeshaya said to Chizkiyahu, "Bahani kvashi derachman olam alach. These hidden things of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you have no business dealing with. We don't deal on that level. We have to keep the Torah. We don't deal with these secrets or these messages or whatever it is. By us, you have to keep the Torah. The Torah says." You have to get married, pruvu, then you have to get married. And you can't go and make these cheshbonos. Well, yeah, but I found that in Ruach HaKadosh. That's what Yeshaya told Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu accepted Yeshaya's toichacha, his musar, and he said to Yeshaya, okay, fine. Then, if that's true, then let me marry your daughter. Because then maybe my zchus and your zchus together will prevent the gzera from happening. So let me marry your daughter. And Yeshaya said, no, the gzera already happened. And you can't stop the gzera. And therefore, it's not going to help for you to marry my daughter. So Chizkiyah said to Yeshaya, Kalei nevuascha v'tzei. Finish your nevuah and leave. Go out. In other words, although Chizkiyah accepted Yeshaya's musar, then he turned around and gave Yeshaya musar. And he said to Yeshaya, Kach mekublani beis Abba. This is my Kabbalah from my father's house. Even if a sharp sword is lying on the neck of a person, he should not hold himself back from doing, from rachamim, from mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person can always change the gzera. Now when he says kach mekublani mibeis Abba, he means from David HaMelech. Chizkiyahu is the direct descendant of David HaMelech. This is the line of David. And even though Yeshaya HaNavi was also from the line of Yehuda, as the Gemara tells us that Yeshaya was his father, Yeshaya ben Amotz, and Amotz was a brother of Amatzia, who was a king, who was one of the kings. So Yeshaya was also in the same family as Chizkiyahu, but he had given up hope for this gzera to change, and Chizkiyahu had not given up hope. And he said that's not. We don't think that way. That's the Gemara in Brachas. And that's the story with Yeshaya and Chizkiyahu. So Chizkiyahu did do Teshuvah at that point, and then he was healed, and at the same time Sancheriv was wiped out. His army was completely decimated. That's the context behind which our Gemara is, or in front of which our Gemara is talking. So that we know about Chizkiyahu. Now our Gemara says that when Chizkiyahu, you still have a question?
I was just curious what this argument is about, since the Navi always came to the king.
Yeah, okay, it's a good question. I don't know. Now the our Gemara picks up with how Hashem wanted to make this a very famous Gemara. The Gemara says, why is Lamarbe Hamisra, why is the Mem Stuma? Why is the Mem in the middle of the word Lamarbe, why is it closed? Where normally you only have an open Mem in the middle of a word, or the beginning of a word, and you have a closed Mem at the end of the word. You have a Mem Seifis. And this is the only place in Tanakh where you have a Mem Seifis in the middle of a word. Why is that? So the Gemara says, because, very famous Gemara, because Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasos Chizkiyahu Mashiach V'Sancheriv Goig U'Magoig. Hashem wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach, and he wanted to make Sancheriv Goig U'Magoig. And Amra Midas Hadin Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Midas Hadin said in front of Hashem, Ribbono Shalom, Uma David Melech Yisrael Shomer Kama Shiros V'Sishbachos Tefanecha. Lo Yasisoi Mashiach. David HaMelech said, all these shows for the Shishbachos, you didn't make him into Mashiach. Chizkiyah, Shasisa, like, Kola Nisim Halalu, you did all these Nisim for him. Rashi says that you healed him, plus you destroyed Sancheriv's army. So you did all these Nisim Shira lefanecha. He didn't say shira in front of you. Ta'aseu mashiach. You're going to make him mashiach. Lekach nistatim. Therefore, it was closed off. And Rashi gives a few pshatim. What was closed off? Whether it was, Rashi says, that the idea that Hashem had to make him into mashiach, that was closed off, or that Hashem wanted to close off the tzaros of Klal Yisrael, and instead it wasn't closed off, or that Chizkiyahu's mouth was closed off, that he didn't say Shira. It's a very famous Gemara. It's a very tragic Gemara, because what the Gemara is telling us is that we were really close. We were very, very close to Chizkiyahu being Mashiach. He met all the criteria for Melech HaMashiach, and his generation met all the criteria for the generation that would herald in Mashiach. Yet, it didn't happen because Chizkiyahu didn't say Shira. So clearly, we have to understand what is being said over here. What the issue is? Why didn't he say Shira? What's so important about saying Shira? What is Shira? And then the Gemara goes on how the Eretz wanted to say Shira in his stead, what is this whole inyan? Now, before we do that, a side point about the mem stuma, this mem in the middle of the word, just to be aware, I want to give you some information about the seifiyos, the end letters. We know there are five letters in the Torah that if they appear in the beginning or middle of a word, they appear one way, but if they appear at the end of a word, they appear a different way. They are menatzpach, mem nun sadi pei chaf. What's that?
Which pasuk is it?
Which pasuk is what?
The mem
sadi from Misra. The Gemara quotes it. It's
actually in the...
It's in Ishaya. It's in Perek Tes.
Ishaya.
So, the Gemara tells us in Megillah that Menatzpach, Mem Nun Sadi Peichaf, were said by the Tzoifim, by the Nevi'im. In other words, the Nevi'im made it up. They made up the notion that these five letters have a different surah, have a different appearance when they come at the end of a word. The Gemara says, how could that be? But we know that first of all, we know Eila HaMitzvus SheNavi Rishay LaChadash Davar Me'ata, that a Navi can't make up anything new. Everything comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. A Navi can't introduce a new idea. It could be a Darabanan, but not a Daraisa. So the Gemara says, and not only that, we also know Rav Chisda said Mem V'Samach SheBeLuchais Bnei Yisrael Yoimdin, that in the Luchais that were given by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mem and the Samach, they stayed in the Luchos in thin air, because the Mem, since it goes all the way around and the Samach goes all the way around, that means the Luchos were chiseled all the way through, and that means there was a piece of stone that hovered in the middle of the Luchos, in the middle of the Mem and the Samach. And every other letter, you didn't need that, because the stone would be connected in some way to the rest of the body of the tablet. But in the Mem and the Samach, you're going to have a piece of stone that hovers in midair, and that was an ace. Along with all the other nisim that the Luchos had, that was a nes that the Mem and Samach stood as without falling. So that's only true if the Mem closes. So clearly, the Mem already existed before the Nevi'im. The Mem existed in the time of Matan Torah, the closed Mem. So the Gemara attempts another answer, that you're right, that they didn't make up the fact that the Mem stood, that it was totally closed. Rather, that they both existed, that there were closed mems and open mems, and there were long nuns and bent nuns and long chafs and bent chafs, etc. But it was haphazard. Did they go in the beginning of a word, middle of the word, end of the word? You basically put in whatever you wanted. And they came and they established, no, that these five tsuros go in the beginning or middle of a word, and these five go only at the end of a word. The Gemara says, but that can't be either, because, again, how could a Navi make that up? It would have to be that it was in place already from the time of Matan Torah. So the Gemara answers, you're right, they didn't make it up. Ela shachachum v'chazur v'yastum, that it was forgotten, and then the Nevi'im reestablished it, meaning that at Matan Torah is already established that the way we have it, that the open mem and the bent sadi chaf pei and nun would go in the beginning and middle of a word, and the closed mem and the straight Sadi Pei Chaf and Nun would go at the end of a word. But people then forgot. they didn't remember what goes where, and the Nevi'im came around and they said that this is the way it goes. Now, it's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch that if you write it wrong, then the Sefer Torah is Pasul, the Tefillin are Pasul, the Mezuzah is Pasul. If you write it wrong, then what you're writing becomes Pasul. It's null and void. You have to write it correctly, that the correct type form is in the beginning and middle of the word, and the correct form is at the end of the word. This is the one exception, is this word, Lamarbe Amisra, where it is a where the Navi Yeshaya was told in this case to make it a Mem Stuma. It's interesting to note that we have a Gemara that appears in a couple places, but primarily in Sanhedrin, where we know that there is a machlokes whether Ezra HaSeifer introduced to Klal Yisrael Ksav Ashuris. Ksav Ashuris is the block lettering that we have in the Sefer Torah today. It's the lettering you have in the Gemara in front of you is close, but not exactly like the lettering in the Sefer Torah, as you all know, when you have Aliyahs or whatever it is, the lettering there is a little different. And that block lettering was introduced, according to some opinions, by Ezra HaSeifer. Others disagree, but some say that it was Ezra HaSeifer in the second Beis HaMikdash who introduced Ksav Ashuris. What did the Jews use until then? They used Ksav Ivris, which is a closer to our script than Ksav Ashuris. So there is a Radvaz who has a tshuva about this. Yes.
The Ksav Ivris, is that the Paleo Hebrew?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know historically. You know.
This is not the ones that did the Samaritans and stuff used.
I don't know. I don't know historically who used what.
I mean, because that looks completely different from our script.
I don't know. Okay. So the what's that? I don't know.
But so when you said it was close to our script, you were just guessing.
Closer to a script. It's a scripted version.
Oh, I thought you said like our script.
No,
like
to a scripted,
script
to a scripted
okay,
version.
Okay, now that's
yeah, yeah, yeah. So the Yerushalmi says that in Ksav Ivris, so the Radvaz brings this Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi says in Ksav Ivris, the Samach and the Mem Seifis do not close. They are open. And therefore, there would not be a nes in the Luchais that there was a piece hovering in midair. In Ksav Ivris, the Ayin is completely closed, like in our script Ayin. The Ayin is completely closed. So, the Radvaz points out that how could you say that Ezra HaSeifer introduced Ksav Ashuris, if the Gemara says that in the Luchais, which obviously was way before Ezra Sefer, that the Mem and the Samach hovered in midair. Plus, says the Radvaz, we know that they darshan the letters. The Gemara darshans the letters, the Midrashim darshan the letters. The letters are darshaned, the nuances of what they looked like. And Yeshaya precedes Ezra HaSeifer. And here the Gemara is darshaning, why is the Mem in Yeshaya closed? The Mem Stuma, in the middle of the word. Why is it closed? So the Radvaz says, he has one approach, and then he upschlugs it, which the Radvaz says, but then he upschlugs it, and then he moves on to another approach. And his maskana is that the first Luchais were written in Ksav Ashuris, the first Luchais, which we read in last week's parasha, were smashed by Moshe Rabbeinu. Then Yidden never saw it. They never saw the original Luchais because they were destroyed by Moshe Rabbeinu because of the Egel Azov. And Ksav Ashuris is the Iker Ksav that should be, but they were destroyed by Moshe Rabbeinu. Then then when the Luchai Shniyais were given, they were written in Ksav Ivris. But Moshe Rabbeinu still taught Ksav Ashuris. He taught it what it was to the Yechidim, to the great Talmid Chachamim. Certainly Yehoshua was taught what Ksav Ashuris was, and the Zakenim were taught what Ksav Ashuris was, Aaron was taught what Ksav Ashuris was, the great Talmidei Chachamim were taught about Ksav Ashuris and about all the Ramazim that are involved in Ksav Ashuris. But the Hamon Am wasn't familiar with Ksav Ashuris. It wasn't until much later when Ezra HaSefer came along that the Hamon Am was taught Ksav Ashuris.
Sefer Torah then, preceding Ezra, were in
Ksav Ivris. According to this.
Even the one by the ark, I thought the one by the ark was.
He writes, the Radvaz writes that, I'm trying to remember, I think he writes it was in Ksav Ivris. I'm pretty sure he writes, I'm not sure. See, because he has two, in his first approach, he's more liberal with how much Ksav Ashuris was available before Ezra HaSefer. Mm-hmm. And then, in the second approach, then he makes it only the first.
Because remember, they found the Sefer Torah and they looked in it and they didn't recognize it until they were told that this is the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu put away with the Ark, and they had not even recognized it, which is what makes me think it might have been Ksav
Ashuris. It could be. You're right. It could be right. I don't remember how he says it. It could be that one he wrote in Ksav Ashuris. I don't know. That what he's trying to do is straddle the fence and make it that yes, Ksav Ashuris had been given at Har Sinai, and yes, there were those who knew about it and knew about its nuances, but the vast majority of people had never seen it until Ezra HaSefer. That's what he's trying to accomplish with that tshuva. It's a very interesting tshuva, which I learned with the group on Thursday night after Myra did that tshuva once with them. So now he says an interesting thing, the Radvaz. He says, this is just a sidebar, he says that why is it that until then they didn't have Ksav Ashuris, and then later on they were zeicher to get Ksav Ashuris? So he says that as long as they had the Aron in the Beis HaMikdash, they had the Aron, and the Aron had the Luchos Shnius, but they also, you know, they also had the other Aron with the Shivrei Luchos. They had much more kedusha with them. Then there was no need for Ksav Ashuris to be in everybody's chumash, in everybody's Sefer Torah. But in Bayis Sheni, second Bayis HaMikdash, where they didn't have the Kedusha of Bayis Rishon, so then it was necessary for them to be given Ksav Ashuris, which is a much greater Kedusha, in order to make up for the fact that Bayis Sheni was so diminished in its Kedusha. He says a Svara like that. It's a very, very interesting truth from the Radvaz. At any rate, here the Gemara is darshaning this closed mem, which is Ksav Ashuris, which obviously precedes Ezra HaSefer, but and according to those who hold, remember there's two opinions, but according to those who hold that they didn't have Ksav Ashuris, this is what the Radvaz is coming to address, that it's not they didn't have it at all, it's that the vast majority of people didn't know about it, didn't they knew that there was such a thing, but they had never been involved, they had never seen it, they didn't read from it, etc. But there was such a concept as Ksav Ashuris even prior to Ezra HaSefer. The Gemara says, the Medrash says, in Shir HaShirim, which we're going to read on Chol Hamoed Pesach, so you know that Shir HaShirim, which was written by Shlomo HaMelech, is it's the shir that is oil in all the shirim. It's higher than all the shir, all the other songs. So the Gemara says, the Targum says over here, Asarte shirasa isamu ba'alma hadein. There were 10 shirais that were said in this world. Shira dein, this shira, shira shirim, mishabach min kulon, is more praise than all of them. But there were 10 shiros that were said in the world, including Shir HaShirim. Meaning, there are 10 specific shiros that were said from the time the world was created until the end of time. Obviously, there are way more than 10 songs, but these 10 are a specific category. And the Medrash here, the Targum, lists the 10. It says, Shirasa Kamaisa, the first shira, Amar Adam Bizman de Ishtabak Leichayim, say Adam Arishon said it when his sin was forgiven. V'asa Yom de Shabsa, and in Shabbos came, V'agan Aloy, and protected him. Pasach Pumei Va'amar, he opened his mouth and he said, Mizmar Shir Liyam Shabbos. He said, Mizmar Shir Liyam Shabbos. That's the first Shira that was said, which we say every Shabbos, Mizmar Shir Liyam Shabbos. Shira Sa Sinyasa, the second Shira, who knows what that would be? That would be the Yamsuf. Amar Moshe Im Bino Yisrael Bezmadi Bezal Lohain Mari Alma Yama the Suf. It was said by Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu Klal Yisrael, when Hashem split the Yamsuf. Psachu Kulhoin Va'amaru Kachada Shirasa de Hechdein Ksiv Bechin Shabach Moshe Bnei Yisrael. So they said Az Yashir. That's Shira number two. Shirasa Slisa, third one. Anybody guess?
Shira Deborah.
What's that?
Deborah Shira.
No.
Be'er.
Okay, it was the Be'er. It was Az Yashir Yisrael Ha'be'er as Hashira Hazos Ali Be'er Anullah, which was said in Parshas Chukas when they thanked the Kadosh Baruch Hu for the Be'er Mayim at the end of the 40 years. They said this Shira. He says that. That's number three. What's the fourth? Still in Chumash.
Hazinu.
Shiras Hazinu is the fourth one. Amar Maisha Neviya Kad Asa Zimne Lemiftam in Alma when he was leaving this world. Va'ichach Ba Yas Alma Beis Yisrael. He used it as Moser for the Beis Yisrael. That's number four. Number five. We're outside of Chumash already. So number five is Yehoshua. That's Shemesh Begivain Daim. Mm-hmm. That it's a very short Shira, but that when he was battling the to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem stopped the sun in order that there should be more time in the day to destroy his enemies, and the Shira stopped, and then so then Yehoshua said Shira. Now this one is very informative for what a Shira is. Let me read you this one. Yehoshua said it when he was having this war, Begivain, and the Kamuvay Shimsha, the Siara, and the sun and moon stopped, plus the Meshis Shine, 36 hours. You know from the Gemara in Sanhedrin earlier that there's a machlokes how many hours it stopped for. Upsaku Milameimar Shirasa, and the sun and moon had stopped. Therefore, they had stopped from saying Shira. Pasach Pume Ihu. So Yehoshua opened his mouth, Vamar, and he said, Shirasa and Aishira. So here we have a parallel to our Gemara. Chizkiyahu didn't say Shira. The Eretz says, I'll say Shira instead of him. You have a precedent for that. When the sun and moon stopped, and therefore they weren't saying Shira, which we have to understand what does it mean, they stopped, therefore they weren't saying Shira. Yehoshua said Shira in place of the sun and the moon. That's Shira number five. Sixth Shira, go ahead.
Shira's
Devorah. Shira's Devorah, right. That Barak and Devorah said, Shira's Devorah in Shaiftim, when Sisera was destroyed, and they said Shira. Fine, that's number six. What's the seventh Shira?
Chana.
So we've gone from Yehoshua to Shaiftim, and now to Shmuel. In Chana says Shira, even though it's called Tfilas Chana, but that is her Shira that she said after Shmuel was born and after he assumed his place in under Eli. That's when she said Shira. That's number seven. The eighth Shira. Your hint is it's still in Shmuel. David HaMelech. David HaMelech. What time? Now when he brings the Aron, no. At the end of his life, when he was saved from Shaul, he says, Miyad Shaul, Miyad Kol Oiv, Miyad Shaul. So he says, at the end of his life, he says a Shira. Now that is the Haftarah for both Parshas Ha'azinu, when Ha'azinu is not Shabbos Shira, Shabbos Shuva. So then we say that Ha'azinu, but we also say that Haftarah. It's also coming up. That's the Haftarah for the seventh day for Shvi Shal Pesach. That's the Haftarah. Even though, my uncle always likes to ask this question, even though on Shabbos Shira, Parshas B'Shalach, there the Haftarah is Shiras Devaira, but when we lay Az Yashir on Pesach, on Shvi Shal Pesach, the Haftarah is not Shiras Devaira, it's Shiras David. It's an interesting thing to think about. Why should that be? It's when we used to go to my uncle for Pesach in Denver, he used to ask this question at the table. Very interesting kasha. Why should whoever set up the haftaras, why should they have put? It's the same laning, so why put one haftara for Shabbos Shira and the other one for Shvi Shal Pesach? You could say, well, you know, that way we spread the wealth a little bit. But it's an interesting thing to think about why, whether one is specific to Pesach and one. Okay, fine. That's the eighth Shira. The ninth Shira, of course, now we have to get the Shlomo HaMelech. That's Shira Shirin. That's Shira Shirin. That's the one that he's talking about over here. Now, Vishirasa Asir Yasa, the tenth Shira has not been sung yet. Asidin Lememar B'nei Galvasa, the children of Galus will say this Shira, B'idan D'yifkun Migalusa, when they are taken out of Galus, Dehechtein Ksiv, that's why it says, Mepharash Al Yidoy D'Yeshaya Neviyah, that's why it says, in the hands of Yeshaya the Nabi, Dehechtein Ksiv, Shira Hadain, see if you know this pasuk. He's going to say it in Aramaic, but see if you know the pasuk. Shira Hadain Yehe Lechayim Lechedva Kilel Iskadosh Chaga. Chaga the Pescha. No? Shira Azois Yehe Lechem Le, what is it? Le, it's Kiyom Iskadosh Chag. Kiyom Iskadosh Chag. I forgot exactly how the pasuk was written. The pasuk in Yeshaya talks about this shir, which is going to be sung in the future. That then the joy of all the people are going to be on the regal 3 times a year. So the 10th Shira is after Mashiach comes and Klal Yisrael sings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the Shira that Chizkiyo does not sing. The 9th Shira had already been sung by Shlomo HaMelech. The 10th one, we're now ready. After Shlomo HaMelech, we're ready for the 10th Shira. Someone's got to sing it. It's going to be Melech HaMashiach. And Chizkiyo could have been Mashiach had he sung the song, and he didn't. And that's why he wasn't Mashiach. What's that? Okay. So, it's very difficult because the Gemara tells us on the Beis that Chizkiyo, the door of Chizkiyo, was primed. I mean, there was no Am Ha'aretz. Everybody, the men, the women, the children, everybody knew Ketuma and Tara. There was no, Chizkiyo made it used the sword. He made it a central tenet of his reign that there will not be Am Ha'aretz. You must learn Torah. There's no such thing as Yiddishkeit without learning Torah. He made it a mandatory, it's mandatory because the Torah says it's mandatory, but Chizkiyo enforced it. He didn't just get rid of Avodah Zarah like other kings did. He enforced the learning of Torah. It must be done. No exceptions, no excuses. You got to learn Torah. And the people listened, and they did it. So the generation, imagine that dar. Imagine just the city of Atlanta. Imagine just the people that we consider to be people who learn Torah. Just those people who we consider to be people who already learned Torah. Imagine if we learned Torah like we should learn Torah. Just us. Imagine that. What it would do for our shul, for our city, what it would do for Klal Yisrael. If just us and the entire Klal Yisrael learned Torah the way they're supposed to learn Torah, it must have been an unbelievable Torah. But Nebuch, he didn't sing Shira, so he wasn't Mashiach. Now, Gaig u'Magaig is also a nevuah that Yechezkel has, that there's going to be a Melchemes Gaig u'Magaig, and apparently, in order for Mashiach to come, I shouldn't say it that way, that part of, along with the coming of Mashiach, there's going to be a Melchemes Gaig u'Magaig, which is going to be some kind of battle where where there's going to be a multitude of nations that gang up under the leadership of Gaig, whoever Gaig is, and they're going to attack Eretz Yisrael. And it is within that framework that we're going to have Mashiach. It says Hashem wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach and Sancheirev Gaig u'Magaig. Magog, of course, is the place. It's Gog me Eretz HaMagog. Gog from Magog. That's the Haftarah for Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Is in Yechezkel, Gog me Eretz HaMagog. Now, what is Shira? Now, you can hear all kinds of shirim on this. I mean, everybody likes to talk about this. And I'm not going to be adding anything that you can't hear from other people. I'm going to tell you one take on how this works, but there are plenty of different approaches. It seems that Shira is obviously singing. So you sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shira is what the Malachim do. Malachim sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what they do. That is the job of Malachim, is they sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. La'asid Lavai, after 120 years, after whatever, Acharei Kichlai Sakal, whatever it is, what are we going to be doing for eternity? We're going to be praising, singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is what we're going to be doing. The Rashi writes at the end of Maseches Brachas that you should get used to making brachas in this world. Get used to it. It should become something that's regular for you. Because that's what you're going to do all day after everything is over. That's what you're going to do for eternity. You're going to be Mevarech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the tachlis of a created being is. The tachlis of a created being is to pay homage to the Creator. That is the highest aspiration anybody can ever have. And that's what we're going to be doing. So that is bracha, that is shira. That is what we're supposed to be doing. You see, the Our Gemara also connects bracha and shira, because the Gemara says that it was a bizayon that Chizkiyahu didn't say shira, and instead the Eretz offered to say shira in his stead. Then the Gemara says what? It was a bizayon that Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael didn't say baruch, until Yisrael came along and said baruch. Baruch Hashem, Asher Hitzil Eschem. So you see that they're related, these two ideas, shira and baruch. It's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see from the Medrash that when the sun and moon function properly, then they are saying a shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When they stopped, they were no longer saying shira, and Yahushua had to step in and say shira in their stead. It seems that shira is an expression of the perfectly serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the perfection in being an Oved Hashem. That's what it seems. It seems that when the sun and moon function as HaKadosh Baruch Hu set them up to function, this is the way they're supposed to be functioning, then they are saying shira. They are constantly saying shira as they move through the heavens. With Lashon, Yasis Kigibar Larutz Arach, says about the Shemesh, as it goes across the sky. It is saying shira because it is doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up to do. Human beings, we have Bechira. Since we have Bechira, we're not always doing exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do. Much of the time, we're not perfect. Even when we're not doing Averus, Baruch Hashem, we're not doing Averus, we still may not be doing perfectly what we were set up to do. We're not perfect. We're human beings. And that's acceptable. But it's not Shira. Shira, there is a certain level of perfection of Avodas Hashem that is inherent in Shira. We can always sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Shira that we're talking about, the 10 Shiras that are being mentioned over here, imply some sort of perfection in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the sun and moon didn't say Shira because they stopped, so there was a lack of perfection. Now, who stopped them? Hashem stopped them. Why did He stop them? Because He wanted to. Because of the Melchama. But Lamaisa, they now were no longer going along the way that Hashem had set them up to do. So there was a break in that perfection. Then Yahushua stepped in and said Shira in their stead. When Mashiach does come, it's going to be accompanied by Nisim and all kinds of Yeshua. When that happens, then that is meant to bring us to a hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that transcends regular life. Regular life, we have Bechira. Nobody's perfect. We're not expected to be perfect. We're expected to do the best we can, which is not perfect. And that's regular life. That's what it means to be in this world. That's what it means to be a murkav of a gashmi and a ruchni, like we are. That's normal. But when there's an incredible hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that ought to catapult us to a level, even if it's only temporary, of an hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that transcends regular life. And for those moments that were there, there should be no such thing as chet. There should be no such thing as Yetzer Hara. Everything should be so perfect at that point that there's no way to recognize anything but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein on milvado. We should have such an incredible revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that point. You find this that in, like for instance Az Yashir. What happened in Az Yashir? Ra'as HaShivcha LaYam Masha'ra Yechezkel Bambuzi. Even a Shivcha LaYam Zeh Keili Vanveyu. They were able to point, say this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yeshua that they had was so sublime, was so incredible, it moved them beyond what is typical, regular life. And that moved them to Shira. There's an interesting Rashi, I've spoken about this before, there's a very interesting Rashi in Shiras Devaira. Very interesting Rashi. At the end of the Shira, you know that the cycle in Shoftim is that Klal Yisrael starts to do Averis. They do Averis, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a foreign nation that conquers them. And they go through a difficult period of time. Then they do Teshuva. They call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Shoftim. The Shoftim comes, destroys the enemy, and Klal Yisrael is okay, and everything's good. And then the Navi, of course, skips all the good parts, right? Klal Yisrael is good for 40 years, then they start to do bad again, and the cycle starts over again. And it's a cycle in Sefer Shoftim. That's the cycle of Sefer Shoftim. Rashi, after Shiras Devaris, is an interesting thing. He says that afterwards it says that Klal Yisrael vayasu hara, after there was quiet for whatever it is, 40 years or how many years it was after Devaira, but then they started doing Averis, it says. Rashi says, every other time in Sefer Shoftim that it says Klal Yisrael did Averis, it says Vayosifu Lasosara, they continued to do bad because the cycle continues. But there, after Shiras Devaira, it doesn't say they continued. It just says they did bad. Why doesn't it say they continued to do bad? Zokht Rashi in Sefer Shoftim, you can look it up, I think it's the beginning of Parakei. So Rashi says in Sefer Shoftim that because through this Shira, it was Nimchal Alahem, all their Averis. In this Shira of Shiras Devaira, all the Averis of Klal Yisrael were forgiven. It's a fascinating thing. Like, who sang the song? It says Barak and Dvara. They sang the song. It wasn't like Az Yashir was all of Klal Yisrael. But nevertheless, this Shira seems to have somehow catapulted the Klal Yisrael to a point they got Mechila for everything. And then any Avera after that was brand new. It wasn't Vayasifu. It wasn't added on to the previous ones. And Rashi's very Meduik. He doesn't say Klal Yisrael did Tshuva. He says that this Shira, through this Shira, they had Mechila for all their previous Averis. You see that there's something about Shira, it means to be on a level where there isn't Avera. There's no such thing as Avera. We're beyond that. We've transcended our regular lives where we have this milchama between ourselves and our Yetzirah, which is the way life is. So, Chizkiyahu, although he had tremendous nisim, and remember, we're talking about Chizkiyahu HaMelech. So, it's very difficult to be critical because we're talking about a person who had got his dar to be what it was, and he was so close to being Melech HaMashiach. Who can say that? You know, that's so close to being Melech HaMashiach. Remember, the Rambam says about Melech HaMashiach that Melech HaMashiach will be second to Moshe Rabbeinu in Nevuah, meaning all the Nevi'im. He's going to be second to Moshe Rabbeinu, and greater than Shlomo HaMelech in Chachma. Shlomo HaMelech is the Chacham Mikol Adam, he'll be greater than that. So, I mean, that's pretty amazing, right? So Chizkiyahu, I mean, he was on the level that he could have been that. So we're talking about something very, very special. So apparently, on his Madrega, he didn't say Shira. Now, I have no doubt in my mind that he thanked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but apparently it wasn't to the level of Shira that was expected of the Melech HaMashiach. So the Gemara says, so then when is Mashiach going to come? Right? Asa Baiker v'gam Laila imti bayun bayu. When is it going to happen that Mashiach is going to come?
So it sounds like, just to go back a step, It sounds like Gog and Magog. There's nobody in particular. It's like
right.
sort of like a job, like Mashiach.
Right. That's correct.
Could be somebody in every generation. Gog could be somebody in every generation.
Right. Right. I don't know. I don't. Yeah.
Magog doesn't describe a specific place, like you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about every generation. I don't know. I don't know how that works. But yes, it seems that it doesn't have to be one particular person or place. It seems like it could be. It's going to change. Because if Sancheriv could have been Gog Magog and he wasn't, that means there's another Gog Magog, which is in the future. We haven't had it yet. So, there is that. So, then when... It seems almost impossible for Mashiach to come. If the Dor of Chizkiyahu, which was obviously far greater than our Dor, and if Chizkiyahu himself, who was far greater than any individual in our Dor, didn't make it, then what hope is there to get there? How do you ever get to Mashiach? It seems almost impossible. It seems like it's unattainable. So the Gemara says, "Ad asu bezuzi ubzuzi de bezuzi." That this is a very sobering Gemara. That it's after there's going to be many many. what's a good word for this? There's going to be attack after attack against Klal Yisrael. That the Klal Yisrael will be I'm looking for the Rashi over here. Achin is bazu seini Yisrael, meaning Yisrael come upon him over and over and over again. Yeshaya says va'id ba Assyria v'shava Yisrael avayir. That there's going to be a weeding out. There's going to be attack after attack, calamity after calamity against Klal Yisrael. People just weeding out Klal Yisrael until finally you have a door that's roi for Mashiach. That's very sobering. I mean, what does that mean? We're not seeing ourselves getting any better than the previous doors. If anything, God forbid, we're worse than the previous doors. So I don't have a full answer for this question of how to understand this, but it seems to me that at least one approach could be that. In order for there to be a sense of this transcendency over our regular lives that brings to Shira, there has to be a Yeshua. There has to be a salvation. It's got to happen. Az Yashir comes through an incredible Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So does Shiras Devarah. Comes through an incredible Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The expectation of Chizkiyahu was based on the fact that there had been a tremendous salvation. His own personal, because he was healed, and he was literally brought back from death, and the decimation of Sennacherib's army. So, in order for there to be that, Purim comes through that as well. The Simcha of Purim comes through what appears to be certain death, which is then reversed, the Verahafaychu. It seems that in order for Klal Yisrael to reach a point where we can say that 10th Shira, and the 10th Shira I imagine has to be a Shira that would be even greater than all the Shiras before it, so in order for Klal Yisrael to get to that point, then it's got to be from the depths of despair. It's got to be from the lowest possible point, and then we skyrocket to incredible Yeshua, and it's at that moment that a chayach to say Shira. So even though it's true Chizkiyahu was saved, and he was saved precisely because of the Torah of the Dor, like the Gemara says in Amud Beis, that the Navi says that Sancheriv will never be able to conquer the people that are worn out in Torah. People who are learning and they're just exhausted in Torah. You would think just the opposite. You think, oh, they're exhausted, they can't fight. How could they fight in an army if they're exhausted? Fakert. They're exhausted from learning Torah. There's no way Sancheriv can conquer them. That's what the Navi says. So you would think that, you know, that's goof of what saved them. The fact that they were on such a high madrega of learning Torah. But it also seems, though, that although they were saved, and it was an incredible Yeshua, but it seems to me the Gemara is saying that since they didn't say Shira, then in order to get Klal Yisrael to that point, it's going to have to be an even greater Yeshua than that. It's going to have to be more than just facing certain death. It's going to have to be the depths of despair, bezuzi ubzuzi de bezuzi, where things are so, so low, and then boom, there's an incredible Yeshua. we always hope, of course, that that's not going to happen through any kind of pain or suffering. Chevle Mashiach, it seems like there is some level of pain and suffering before Mashiach comes. Hopefully we've already paid that debt. Perhaps we already did in the Shoah. Maybe we already paid that debt. I hope that's true. There's no way for us to know. It's impossible for us to know. But it seems that it's got to come through these most terrible events, because it's got to be literally from zero to 100. It's got to go like a total turnaround, Purim-like, but even better, in order to bring about the Shira that is necessary to have Melech HaMashiach. That's what it seems to me is the flow of this Gemara with Chizkiyahu. Why didn't Chizkiyahu do it? I don't know the answer to that question. How can we judge Chizkiyahu? I don't know the answer. But the fact is he didn't, and the Gemara tells it to us. The Gemara criticizes him for that, so it is true. And apparently, we need more than that in order to reach that level of Shira.
Maybe we'll just go the Kula Chayavrut.
What's that? What?
Maybe we'll just go the Kula.
The Kula Chayavrut, right? I don't know. I mean, the Rambam says it's pointless to talk about these things. I mean, to delve into it, because we don't know. It's all conjecture. The Rambam says nobody really knows. It's all, even in the Gemaras, it's all educated guesses. We don't really know, and there's that, So we have to go about our business, which is to learn Torah, to keep the Torah. That's our job, and that's really what Yeshaya was telling Chizkiyahu. Don't get into this, the nevuahs and like that. It doesn't change our job. Our job is keep the Torah. That's our job, and that will bring Mashiach. But it does seem that there has to be some. I mean, the Melchama of Gog u'Magog is a calamity. It means a threat to the very existence of Klal Yisrael. That seems that that's a prerequisite for the coming of Mashiach. How, when, why? What, we don't know, but it does seem that that is a prerequisite. Okay.